Welcome to another episode of Talks from St. Peter's, a podcast bringing you live recordings of talks from our services at St. Peter's Church in Derby, a community of faith, hope, and love in the heart of the city.
Good morning, everybody. Let's pray. Father, we pray that we might open our eyes, our ears, and our hearts to receive your word this morning and to act upon it as we follow you into this week. Amen. Today, we are starting a new series, Putting Out into Deep Water. How do you like that idea? And I have the wonderful task of starting it off. First, this story from Luke in his gospel, and then the continuation of the story in Acts, of the first adventures of the early apostles as they begin to fulfill Jesus' command to go and make disciples. We've just been singing about that, haven't we? Freely we have received, freely give. Go in my name. And it's exciting and full of surprises. It's a story of the Christian faith spreading across the Roman world. And the church has time and again gone back to it to get inspiration for continuing Christ's mission. And we are part of it and caught up in it. And I hope that you will all feel part of Jesus' mission to transform the whole world and bring in God's kingdom this morning. Most of us who are worshiping this morning at home and in church at some time have responded to Christ's call to each one of us to follow him. We have stepped out into the unknown with God, and we have seen him do exciting things. I hope you have, because I know we have. I don't know how you are feeling as a church member and as a Christian at the close of lockdown, we hope. Has everything been on hold? Have some things been closed down permanently? Are we tempted to give up and say, it's not worth starting that again? Do you feel tired like Peter, who'd got a sense of failure because he'd worked all night and caught nothing? Or are we poised on the edge of doing new things and launching into the deep? As we look at these passages, we hope you will feel ready to launch your boat into deep water. Peter and co. must have felt very doubtful about doing what Jesus instructed. After all, what did a carpenter know about fishing? But Peter and friends are going to get a surprise. As they trust Jesus and put the nets down, a miracle happens, and Peter is overwhelmed with his own inadequacy and failure and sinfulness in the presence of real holiness and authority. Christ affirms his call to Peter so lovingly. Don't be afraid. From now on, you're going to be catching people. See what happens next. They pulled their boats up on the beach, left everything, and followed Jesus. So what should our response be? Have we worked hard in the past and not seen much fruit? The things we've done have not really made a difference, we think. You may question, what have I been doing? What have I been doing all this time? But this story says to us, because Jesus calls us, we will let down our nets again in Derby, where Jesus leads us. into new relationships with people in the parish through visiting. We need some visitors. Looking for opportunities in a new school, in a newly built area of the parish. And Anita mentions that in the newsletter. To help with the Tuesday teas, to bake a cake or help, or with the asylum seekers and the newly arrived Afghan families. So many areas of possible contact with people. And to get involved with the prayer group for those on the front line. So many opportunities God has waiting for us. When Jesus had earlier gone to the synagogue in Nazareth, he'd read from the scroll from the prophet Isaiah and had declared these amazing words. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he passes on that mantle to us. He claimed the prophecy was being fulfilled in him. His aim is the transformation of the whole world and the bringing in of the kingdom of God. And Jesus wants us to get on board. Before he calls Peter, he uses his boat. Did you notice that? He commandeers Peter's boat. And a harvest of fish beyond their wildest expectations. And he shows Peter how to use that boat to great effect. Is God saying to us, trust me, listen to me, and I can do through you immeasurably more than you can ask or think? I would encourage you to take those words home that you have of that last song. I wasn't very familiar with the tune, as I'm sure perhaps you weren't, but the words are absolutely fantastic for the theme that we've got this morning. All the way through Acts, we see the disciples living out the story in Luke 5. They continually put out into deep water, let down the nets and see what happens. Even in the most unlikely circumstances, God surprises them time after time, and they are continually amazed. We long for renewal in mission. And we long for our churches to grow and to see people come to faith. The renewal we see in Acts is about deep water, about adventure and taking risks. It's about being courageous and joining in the new thing God is doing. I feel, after all this lockdown, that there's a new thing happening this morning. Do you? We've got more children here, which is rather lovely. We've had a growing number of children. In Acts 16, we see Paul and his team are stuck. They don't know where to travel next. They try one way and then they try another, and they're prevented. They don't have the Spirit's permission. I wonder if there's a lesson in guidance here. How does God guide us individually? And how does he guide us as a church fellowship? Over really important decisions, in our experience, there has been a combination of things that have all added up to confirm the right path. Words of scripture, primarily, and promptings of the Spirit, plus even the guidance of other Christians, or even something that you've read. First, there has to be a waiting on God. Do we see a different Paul here from the action-filled life we've seen previously of him preaching, teaching, and healing? More a contemplative Paul who has a vision in the middle of the night. Actually, it's amazing how things do come to you in the middle of the night. He sees a man from Macedonia beckoning him and begging him, come over and help us. And Paul wants to help. So we see the action man again, making plans. Straight away, Paul and his companions set off. There needs to be the balance in all of our lives of waiting on God in prayer and reading and listening and then action, responding to the Lord's call. We can learn from this. Sometimes human plans have to be put aside because the Lord has other ideas, wider plans. How does the church receive guidance? When we were at St. Stephen's Symphin, we were considering building an extension to the church building, and we were deliberating going forward and how big to make the extension. In a crucial church meeting, Harold Alcock, the oldest church member, listened to the discussion and then spoke. Look to the future, he declared. Look to the future. And that statement became a green light for what was to follow. And that church centre is still widely being used. Philippi in Macedonia is very deep water. It's a Roman colony, originally an outpost of Rome itself, established in conquered territory to secure it. It's in a whole new continent and culture, almost beyond where the Jews have scattered to. There's no synagogue there. There's no starting point as there has been previously. It looked most unpromising. Deep water, indeed. But by the time the Sabbath comes round, the apostles have discovered that there is a place of prayer down by the river, outside the city. And a number of women who are worshippers of God gather there to pray. God is already at work. We've got some opposition outside, competition, should I say. This is the place to begin. In Philippi, Paul saw God working in unexpected ways and among unexpected people. If he'd been looking for converts from a similar background to his own, he would have been disappointed. The first convert, Lydia, is a well-to-do Macedonian businesswoman who dealt in purple cloth. The Lord opened her heart to respond eagerly to Paul's message. She provides her spacious home as a strategic center for the emerging church and mission in Philippi. In the later New Testament letter to the Philippians, we see a loving, generous community and fellowship, which was really dear to Paul's heart. When the Lord opened Lydia's heart to the gospel, she opened her home. Her whole household was baptized. Interesting, isn't it? The first church in Philippi began in Lydia's home. It's just made me think that the church in Oakwood was actually started in a home, in a house. Now look at the next convert, a girl bound in spirit and enslaved to owners, greedy to gain from her fortune-telling powers. Marginalized and exploited, she recognizes Paul and his companions as God's messengers. Day after day, she screamed and shouted until in the name of Jesus Christ, Paul commanded the spirit to leave her. Calm at last, touched by the liberating and healing power of God, she can tell fortunes no more. Enraged at their loss of income, the girls' owners drag Paul and Silas before the magistrates in the public square. The mob joins in the attack. Accused of being Jews and advocating unlawful customs, Paul and Silas are stripped, flogged, and thrown into the city jail, where, bleeding and wounded, their feet are made fast in the stocks. And the girl? We are not told, but surely it's reasonable to suppose she passes into the care of the new Christian community, meeting in Lydia's home. As the night wore on, unable to sleep, Paul and Silas pray and sing hymns to God while the other prisoners listen. Suddenly, a violent earthquake shakes the building to its foundations. The gates fly open and everyone's chains can come loose. In the chaos, the jailer fears his charges have fled. Knowing his fate, if they have, he's about to fall on his sword when Paul says to him, shouts, "Don't harm yourself, we're all here." Now the jailer is afraid. He seems to have heard something of the gospel in the preceding days. "What must I do to be saved?" he cries. "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." To an impromptu, wide awake congregation in the middle of the night, the apostles speak the word of the Lord. Their wounds are washed. The household is baptized. A meal is prepared, and terrified master and slaves are filled with joy because they have come to believe in God. So there's another family. The following morning, in the aftermath of the earthquake and wishing to restore peace and calm as quickly as possible, the magistrates order Paul's and Silas's immediate release. Not for the last time, Paul asserts their envied Roman citizenship. Paul asserts their envied Roman citizenship and demands their public release. They straightaway go to Lydia's house, encourage that Christian community there, and leave the city. And this story reminds us of the great work of God that's going on at the moment in our prisons and the work that Wayne is doing, we shall pray for later, I hope, on the Inside Out project. This new church in Philippi has a wide range of people now, unexpected people, converted in lots of unexpected and different ways. All are saved to serve. As we look around at our community, we are all different. Let's pray that we will be bold and make the most of every opportunity to share Jesus' love. As we approach new beginnings here at St. Peter's, will we settle for small, tame aims with everything only slightly better than it was before? Or, as we learned 2 weeks ago, will we expect great things from God? And will we attempt great things for God? Addressing his diocesan synod 2 years ago, Stephen Croft, Bishop of Oxford, said this: "We are looking for our common vision to be a wider and wilder process Do you feel wild this morning? Wilder process, following the Spirit's call. We are encouraging one another to put out into deep water, to be open and obedient to the Spirit, to open up the spaces for God to be at work, to look for God's work in the most unlikely places and people, to see what God will do. The deep water is an uncomfortable place. Look what Paul and Silas went through. It was then and it is now. When we set sail, we entrust ourselves to God. To God. And as we sang in that lovely hymn that we sang, or tried to sing, that he is there if we keep our eyes on him. So let's pray. God of love, the sea is so great and our boat is so small. Inspire us as we put out into deep water. Help us to be contemplative, compassionate, and courageous in your mission. Guide us by your Spirit to discover where you are working. Help us to join in the building of your kingdom and anoint us afresh to make disciples in your name for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who calls us and sends us with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
St. Peter's is a diverse community of faith, hope, and love in the heart of the city. If you'd like to know more, you can find us online at stpetersderby.org.uk. Thank you for listening to this episode of Talks from St. Peter's, and we hope you will join us again for our next talk in about a week's time.